Hello, everyone, and welcome to another America's Conservative Podcast. Yeah, you know it's me. It's Ed Denson. It's Monday. Got to go back to work. Just the way it is. Just the way life is. Hope you had a beautiful weekend. I think a couple times last week I told you that I had a disc golf tournament happening this past week, and actually only a one-day tournament. Usually the tournaments are both Saturday and Sunday, but this one was just on Saturday. Played really well. Now, granted, I woke up yesterday, Sunday morning, feeling like a 46-year-old, to tell you the truth. But on Saturday, played real well. I think it helped that I got to play with some guys that I know, that I've known for a while, other players. And so the atmosphere was really good. Not playing with any strangers. You do run into some jerks out on the disc golf course, just like you run into in any sport. But the course was beautiful. The day was beautiful. It was warm, but not outrageously so. And just shot real well, playing in an advanced division. Finished fifth out of, 13 guys. And most of those guys probably being half my age, if not less. So, yeah, it was good. It was good. And then on the way home, I guess it had to be countered with something else. On the way home, I had a blowout. The left rear tire on my Taurus blew out near where the 275 meets I-4 right outside of Tampa, north of Tampa. Just real quick, boom. 1 second it was good. The next second, boom. It just went real fast. And so I pulled. Luckily, there was an exit right there, and there was an abandoned parking lot right off the exit. Changed the tire out to the mini spare, and I was right back on the road. I'd say in less than 10 minutes. It went pretty fast. I know how to do that stuff. And so the car still has the spare on, and after I'm done recording the show for today, I'm going to go out. Probably going to get two tires, not just one. I bet I'm going to have both rears on the car replaced, I think. We'll just have to see what the guy says. I knew the tires, at least on the back, weren't that great anyway, so we'll just have to see. But it could have been way worse. Could have been a drive tire, and I could have been squirrely all over the road, but luckily it was a rear tire. And I haven't had a blowout of a tire. It's going to be a while. It's been a while since I actually had a blowout on a... I'd say it's over 20 years. I don't think it ever happened in Las Vegas. I'll have to think about that. So it was a good weekend overall. Good weekend. Really enjoyed playing up there at Floral City, playing with some friends of mine and playing well. It was nice to get the discs to go where they should be going. Let's move on to the show. If there was a terrorist attack, I'm taking for granted it's a terrorist attack, in St. Petersburg, Russia today. And I have to be honest with you that when I got up this morning and turned my computer on just to see what was going on in the news, and you hear train explosion or explosion in train station in St. Petersburg, I don't automatically think St. Petersburg, Russia. I automatically think St. Petersburg, Florida, because it's just, less than 10 miles from me. But then I started thinking, a train station, there are no train stations in St. Petersburg, to my knowledge. And I thought, oh, that's probably Russia. And then, of course, that's where it ended up being. It was in a train station. At this point that I'm starting this show, there are 10 dead, at least 50 injured. Looks like it's going to be a terrorist attack. Probably, I don't know if it was ISIS connected, but it may be Chechnya, or probably a terrorist group that's more, closely related to Russia than what we in the United States think of as terrorism. We think of it as, Middle East terrorism. Of course, the Boston Marathon bombing was not that. But I would say, actually, the Boston Marathon bombing is probably much closer to what happened here in St. Petersburg than maybe some of the other attacks that we usually associate with terrorism. Just a guess, though, but it was a bomb on a train. So it wasn't a gas explosion, or there wasn't construction going on or anything. This was something that was put on a train, had shrapnel in it. Actually, once again, it was very much like the bomb at the Boston Marathon. And I'm sure there are going to be, I'm sure, in fact, I am positive that if I go do start doing a little search for this news, there are already going to be several hundreds, if not thousands, of stories of how this is some false flag operation by Vladimir Putin. Now, you don't like to put anything past the guy, but can I just say that I'm doubtful that, even though I know that there's probably videos on YouTube, Facebook posts, all crazy stuff, Alec Jones type material, and saying, well, you can never rule out Vladimir Putin. He's just going to increase his power over the Russian people. Does he really need a bombing to do that? Does he not have enough power over his people already? And really, it, you know, in Russia, Vladimir Putin is not really a hated guy. I think Russians love him. I've seen enough news articles. I think I've seen enough polls and things to know that even though he has taken Russia in the opposite direction of freedom and rights and everything else, if you want to believe killing his foes and poisoning them and killing reporters and the shoot down of that Flight 17 and everything else, I think the Russian people continue to like him. And I don't think that's by force by them. I don't think they're necessarily afraid of him. I don't think this is a situation like North Korea. I happen to believe that a majority of the Russian people like what he's doing. Maybe some of them do long to go back to the Soviet Union days, especially the older ones. I don't know about the younger people, but you have many people who live in Russia now that are old enough to remember the Soviet Union. And they may think about not being able to find bread on the shelves, but on the other hand, they may think back, they only remember the good stuff, the rest of the world fearing the Soviet Union and their aircraft carriers, or did they even have any? They had a couple were aircraft carriers, but their submarines and their nuclear weapons and the Eastern Bloc countries and East Germany and all of that. So, given that, it's no surprise that maybe Vladimir Putin is a well-liked guy. And because of that, I don't think he needs to commit one more bombing to get people, you know, to get people in line. I think that the majority of the Russian people are firmly behind Vladimir Putin, unfortunately. But I think that we'll eventually find out who did this. I think you're going to find out that I doubt that this is, it's more likely attached to, I don't even know if you could say if this is even attached to Syria, what Russia has been doing there, or ISIS. I'm guessing that it's something a little more close to home for Russia. But as the news comes out, I'll let you know. Oh, one more thing. I should have started the show off with this. You know, I start off with some disc golf and a car story. I found out this weekend, I actually found out from my dad, I think he texted me that on Friday after I had already done the show, that Mike Pence, yes, Vice President of the United States, is doing the commencement address at my alma mater of Grove City College. I don't know. I know I've mentioned Grove City a few times within the last few months on this show. And maybe you haven't taken the time, and that's fine, you're not required to do so, checking out when I say Grove City and I say it's a conservative school, maybe you haven't checked that out. Well, I guess you now see what I meant. And keep in mind, the Grove City is not a very big school. I think it's about the same size it is now than when I went there. So you have about a total of 2,200 total students at the school, which means my class at Grove City was around 550 students. So not a big school at all. And it's not, even today, it's not very expensive to go there relative to many other schools. And it is a private school. But it has enough, I don't know, power or its power of its reputation to get the vice president of the United States to speak at the graduation. I guess it would be in May, about a month and a half from now. I have to be honest, I don't even remember who did the commencement address at Grove City the year I graduated. I don't even remember. I couldn't tell you if it was a man or a woman or anything else. In fact, I'll have to ask, you know, my buddy Dave, who I went to college with that I talk about once in a while. I'll have to see if he remembers who, because we graduated the same year, who it was. I can't remember. I just can't. But I do know the year before, when I was a junior, so it would have been the class of 92 at Grove City, the speaker was William F. Buckley. So Grove City, as far as commencement speakers, has been wielding the heavy lumber for a long time. And in fact, also, Walter Williams was a guest professor at Grove City at one time as well. I think that's going back some years now. But it took my dad to tell me that Mike Pence is going to be speaking there. Very, very interesting. And because from what I think I know about Grove City, and I, it was an interesting time, I guess, when I went to Grove City, 89 to 92, or 90, technically 93, that because it was a period of transition for conservatives. Like I said, it's a conservative school. I was taught Austrian economics when I went there. Learned a lot about free trade and the real kind of good constitutional law. But it was a time right after Ronald Reagan had been president. Bush 41 was president. And he wasn't that conservative. And I can remember some of the college professors that I had saying that they were going to vote for Ross Perot in 92. And I think that's one of the reasons that Bush 41 did not win in 1992. A lot of people like them, people that I knew at Grove City, thought that Bush 41 needed to be voted against, not because of what went on in Iraq, but because of him raising taxes, going back on his claim of, read my lips, no new taxes. Remember that? And that was one of the many things that I think cost Bush 41 in his election in 1992. And then on top of it, there was still the belief in many circles that Ross Perot was paid by Democrats through the Clintons, through the Democrat Party, to run to split up that side of the vote so Clinton would win. And you'll remember that Ross Perot ran again to a lesser extent in 1996. So it was an interesting time to be there because it was a conservative school teaching conservative values. I mean, a Grove City, the boys and girls dorms are separated. And as a result, you have visitation hours, and I'm sure continues to this day. I have not been on the campus since I graduated. I rode by it last summer was it last summer? No. I rode by Grove City back in December, January, when I was back to see my parents around Christmas, New Year's. I rode down the street past the school. That's the closest I've been to it since I graduated. College years, don't like to think about them too much for many reasons. But, so Mike Pence is going to be speaking there, which should tell you something. And once again, I think it's interesting because I don't think the Grove City would be a place, even though many Grove City people in 1992 went against George Herbert Walker Bush, Bush 41. I'm guessing there are a lot of people at the Grove City campus right now who aren't fans of Donald Trump either. Probably. And I wonder how many of them back in November really voted for Donald Trump. I'm going to think probably not many. And so it's interesting then that the vice president, the guy that probably a lot of these people didn't vote for, is going to be speaking there, probably because Mike Pence is more in line with Grove City and what it teaches than Donald Trump is, of course. They're probably just looking at Mike Pence as a, you know, just looking at him on his own, forgetting that he's not president, forgetting who he's the vice president to. I should also say, and I don't really know how these things happen, you know, how you actually get and reach the vice president and find out if he has time for a Saturday in May to speak. Because I'm going to guess that even though he is vice president, and I know most schools, you know, of higher education in the United States are liberal and would never have Mike Pence speaking at the graduation. I'm sure he gets many requests. I'm sure he's gotten many requests. And so it's interesting, and that just shows you once again how much pull Grove City has, that it's only 2,200 students there out in the hills of Pennsylvania, out in the middle of nowhere. If you don't know where Grove City is, it's very close to where I-80 and I-79 cross, very close to where they cross, which you would think would be a big deal. It's not. Two major highways in Pennsylvania, you'd think there'd like be a big city there or something else. There's not. Erie's like an hour north of there or something. You'd think that there's just nothing there. And out there in the hills of Pennsylvania. But he's going to go speak there. So I guess I was a little surprised, but not totally surprised, because Mike Pence would be the kind of guy the Grove City would want to get to speak at commencement. I have to question, is Donald Trump speaking anywhere? Has he been asked to speak at any schools? I truthfully don't know. I'm not saying that as a joke. I really don't know. I've not read anything about that. So, I mean, usually, of course, Barack Obama, I think he spoke at a college or university every year he was president. I couldn't name you one of them, but I'm sure he did. I just don't know that if Donald Trump has been asked or if he has accepted to speak at any commencement addresses. Of course, allowing to speak is going to bring out all the rallies and, you know, riots and everything else. Maybe. And maybe the reason that Mike Pence accepted Grove City's request is because he knows he can go there and there won't be too many protests. Although I would expect that there will be some, even at Grove City out in the middle of nowhere, in a very Republican, conservative part of Pennsylvania. I'm sure that some kooks will show up, and we'll see. Just have to see. I will keep my ear to the ground to find out that for you when it happens, but that won't be till May. So Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States, speaking at my alma mater for commencement address next month. How about that? So let's move on to something else. There is something going on. I don't know if it means anything. I don't know if I'm selectively picking out a couple news stories. And I'm not going to say that this makes me feel better. It doesn't. Because these people, I don't know if they can work themselves back into my good graces, given what has gone on the last almost 2 years. But I found it two stories, and actually I saw more than this, but two particular stories that caught my ear, and it just shows you, I think, how far conservative media has fallen. It's bad enough that so many conservative people, both regular people and media people, leaders in the conservative movement, have gotten behind Donald Trump. You know, I, of course, have touched on that topic at least for, I guess, 30 seconds for the last year and a half on this show. It's bad enough that that happens. But now there's something going on. I don't know if I'm surprised by it, but it's a little shameful. I have a story that Russia is actually coming out and finally saying, well, the reason that Donald Trump is attacking the Freedom Caucus is because all Trump only cares about is winning. He said that. That was, I guess, on Friday's show. I got this from the site therightscoop.com. In addition, there was an article at thepolitistic.com that Matt Drudge, who is for all intents and purposes a recluse, I don't know if anybody ever sees him out in public at all, and even just I don't know what he does, where he goes. I have no idea. He had a meeting with Rand Paul this weekend, or within at least the last few days, maybe going back to last week. Matt Drudge and Rand Paul actually had lunch together. You know, this is something maybe that we as regular people, regular conservatives, don't understand. Because you know and I know that the Drudge Report did nothing but blast Rand Paul during the primary season. Made fun of him, called him names. Drudge Report was all behind Donald Trump. All behind him. All behind him. I don't know if during the primary season of late, or no, let's just go back to from the first debate, August 2015, until Rand Paul dropped out of the race, I'm not sure the Drudge Report said one good word. Now, granted, after a while, I stopped going there because I saw the way it was going. I don't know if it ran one good article about Rand Paul. I'm sure somebody could email me something from some archive. See, they did this, they did that. Maybe I'm exaggerating. But you know that Drudge Report overall was all about Donald Trump winning the nomination. Period. Period. But now, and we also know for sure that the Drudge Report made fun of Rand Paul. And Rand Paul did it a couple times, get into arguments with Donald Trump in some of these debates, and Drudge Report came to his Donald Trump's defense, as did a lot of people, making fun of Rand Paul. And of course, Donald Trump made fun of Rand Paul. But now Matt Drudge is meeting with Rand Paul, and it wasn't just that. It wasn't that they got together and whatever they talked about. I don't know if they talked about probably health care and everything else. Matt Drudge made the comment somewhere, I don't know if it was on his site, because I haven't been to the Drudge Report in over a year. He called Rand Paul America's best senator. Now keep that in mind, given that there were other senators who backed Donald Trump for president, who wanted Donald Trump to win, who went out there and campaigned with him, said nice things about him. Rand Paul was not one of them, but Matt Drudge once wanted Donald Trump to win. You would think, if things made sense in the world, that Matt Drudge would say, make a nice comment like that, like America's best senator, about one of those senators that was behind, maybe like Jeff Sessions, even though he technically is not a senator anymore. Maybe say something like that about Jeff Sessions. He's the best senator, of course, because Jeff Sessions supported Donald Trump running for president. But no, Matt Drudge picks the exact opposite, at least on the Republican side, of Donald Trump, and says that about Rand Paul. Do you think that's true? Do you think that he's saying that truthfully, or do you think that he's saying that facetiously? We're going to get back to Rush Limbaugh in a second. Do you think he means that? I wonder. Could it be that in Matt Drudge's case, he has watched what has gone on in these last couple months? Because the truth is this. Although Donald Trump might have been able to mop the floor with the rest of those guys and then Carly Fiorina during the primary season, when it comes to governing, now that Donald Trump is president and some of those same people are back in their positions, whether it's Senator Rand Paul, Senator Marco Rubio, Senator Ted Cruz, It's now obvious that those guys are more capable than Donald Trump is. And dare I say it, these guys are sticking more to, I mean, Rand Paul, what you've seen of him in the last, since the primary season started in 2015, Rand Paul is Rand Paul. You know what you're getting. You either like it or you don't. I have to admit, sometimes I like what he says, sometimes I don't. Ted Cruz, same way, but they're fairly consistent. They're fairly consistent on their politics, even though their support, you know, Ted Cruz, you know, can't, you know, blasting Donald Trump, but then kind of campaigning for him, saying some nice things about him. But Ted Cruz, I'm not sure his ideas about government change that much. Same with Rand Paul, same way with Marco Rubio, many of these guys. And I made the point last week that those types of people in politics go much further than people like Donald Trump, who seems to just put his finger into the wind and see where public opinion is. On top of the fact that all he wants to do is just win. And it could be that Matt Drudge has watched what's going on since Donald Trump became president and thought, well, now I need to get on the other side of this. I need to go back to the other side. I need to start praising these guys in the Senate, in the House, who are going to oppose some of these things that Donald Trump wants to do. And it's disgraceful. I don't know if this is going to be a trend. I don't know if this just happened this weekend and next weekend that Matt Drudge will be saying Rand Paul is the worst senator in the United States. I have no idea. But it's weird that I see two of these guys, Rush and Matt Drudge, come out with statements that contradict everything that they have been doing for the last almost 2 years. Now, you should know something, and I think this is where I'm going with this. Matt Drudge and Rush Limbaugh are good friends. And in fact, the only, you know, Rush Limbaugh is probably kind of reclusive as well, but they, my understanding is they live very close to each other down in the Palm Beach area. They both have palatial estates down there from, once again, my understanding. I've seen Rush's house. I don't know if I've ever seen a shot of Matt Drudge's house or anything, but I'm guessing he lives quite well. And they talk, and I'm just wondering that both of these stories come out from the Right Scoop and Politistic, very close together. Was this the topic of conversation, you think, between Matt Drudge and Rush Limbaugh within the last couple weeks? And because that's the feeling that I get. And probably has to do with now Donald Trump blasting the Freedom Caucus. Probably a group in the House that is most like what Rush Limbaugh and Matt Drudge have been over the course of their careers than any other kind of caucus or group within the government. And maybe could it be that these guys, Rush, Matt, saw what has gone on regarding Trump care and maybe had their moment like I used to illustrate in, like I used to talk about before the election on the Bridge of River Kwai, Alec Guinness. What was the character's name? I think his last name was Nicholson, like Jack Nicholson. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But he builds that bridge and actually helps. He thinks that he's doing his own self and his men a favor by building morale, by building this bridge. And then finally he figures it out that, oh, wait a minute. I just built this bridge that's going to help the Japanese war effort. And that's when he at the end, William Holden's there trying to blow up the bridge. And that's when Alec Guinness's character says, my God, what have I done? It doesn't occur to him till that second that, oh yeah, this was a bad idea of building this bridge. Is this what we're seeing here? Are Matt and Rush, Mr. Limbaugh and Mr. Drudge, having now their moment, standing there looking at the White House, looking what Donald Trump's doing, look at what he's tweeting. I guess he went on a Twitter rampage this morning or yesterday morning. looking at all of this stuff and saying, my God, what have we done? Now, I want to continue to talk about this after the break. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.
The voice of American conservatism, WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
And we are back at America's Conservative Podcast. I want to continue to talk about what Rush Limbaugh and Matt Drudge have said recently. I think I covered most of what Matt Drudge said, saying that Rand Paul is America's best senator. Well, it's hard to understand being that Rand Paul is like the polar opposite of Donald Trump. But Matt Drudge did everything in his power with his website to get Donald Trump elected. Very, very difficult to understand. And then once again, as I said before, I think this is one of those things that drives people nuts about politics. I think it's what sours people. I think that's what it does. Now, getting back to what Rush said, Trump only cares about winning, and could it be that Rush is saying this because Donald Trump has put the Freedom Caucus in his crosshairs since this health care bill, Trump Care, which I'm going to continue to call it, didn't get a vote a week and a half ago, not this past Friday, but the Friday before. And Rush says, Trump, all he does is care about winning. Yeah, we know. That was our problem from day one. And it seems that this was all fine during the campaign. In fact, Rush, among other people, said that the reason they wanted him is because Trump wants to win. And the reasoning for this, the reason that they thought that, I guess, that this was a good argument is because Rush, among others, thought that Republicans were getting too comfortable on losing and giving up and compromising with the White House, which I have to tell you is not the way I perceived it at all during Barack Obama's, you can't say 8 years, technically 6 years, once the Republicans got a hold back, you know, in charge of the House. That is not the way I perceived it. The reason I think I didn't perceive it that way is because I know it takes a lot more work to get things done in the Congress than really what Rush and these other media types really want to admit. To hear them talk, and this is one more reason. If you're sitting there, if you get up every day and you think about politics in the United States and you're a conservative and you definitely believe that conservatism is a better way to run a country and to have a civilization than liberalism is, and if you believe it's so obvious that conservatism is so much better of liberalism, then you have to start thinking, why don't conservatives win more? And you have to put everything on the table. Because I think what has happened in the last 25 years is that we have fallen into cliches. We default to reasons that if when you really start thinking about them, they might have been true at one time. I'm not saying they're lies. I'm not saying that. But they were true at one time, but now, all these years later, it very well may be other reasons that we're not doing as well. Like 25 years ago, if somebody had said, well, the reason the country isn't more conservative, well, we need more conservative news outlets, they'd probably be right. And if you wanted to bash liberal media bias and mainstream media bias of the 80s into the 90s, CNN before Fox News, of course, before the internet, then that's a good argument. It was a really, really good argument back then. It's not now. To say that we have liberals in the United States because of news being liberal is wrong. It's just wrong. Because there are many conservative outlets out there that people have choices all over this country of what they want to read, what they want to listen to, who they want to follow, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, TV, internet, Netflix, you know, podcasts, whatever. And after a while, you have to realize that conservatives have a much better fighting chance now than we did 25 years ago when it comes to media. But it doesn't seem we're any farther ahead, so it must be other things. It must be other things. And see, I would say what has also gotten old is conservative leadership. And this is a perfect example of this. Rush Limbaugh is right, is correct now. Not right, but correct now. Rush, all Trump does is care about winning. And that's fine as long as he happens to be on the side that you're on. But you don't know where Donald Trump ideologically is going to end up. And this is the problem that I've stated since day one, that Rush seemed to dismiss. It was enough for him to think, well, Donald Trump wants to win. Because the perception, once again, getting back to where I started this, is that Republicans haven't wanted to win the last 6 years, which I don't believe is true. I believe they did, but they were severely limited because things don't get done as easily as conservative leaders have been telling all of you. Now, I don't know if they've been lying to you. I don't know exactly what's in their hearts. But I know that if I'd have been in Rush Limbaugh's position for the last 25 years, I wouldn't have been telling you how easy it is. That all you need is a majority in Congress, and then you can get anything done. Because you know what? When it comes to Democrats, that's not the way it is for them either. You know, now, what happened with Obamacare is you just don't have enough people. You just don't have enough people. And politically, Obamacare has been a loser for Democrats. Politically, it's been a loser. Since it got through the Congress, Barack Obama signed it, they've lost 1,000 seats. So just because something gets easy through Congress and through the president doesn't necessarily mean that it's good. And doesn't mean that the people are going to like it. Doesn't mean that it's going to be good for the country. Doesn't mean it's conservative. It doesn't mean anything. It's just paper. I also remind you that what leaders, conservative leaders, don't seem to want to tell you, although you can figure it out for yourselves if you have the patience and the time now to do this. The truth is, your average member in the House and the Senate is not that conservative. He or she may be a Republican. He or she may be pro-life. He or she may be pro-gun. But we know on there's a whole host of political issues out there, hundreds of them. And your average Republican senator or representative falls somewhere down in the 60% conservative range, the 50% conservative range. That's where the average is. But then all these conservative media people have told you how we should just crank out conservative bill after conservative bill after conservative bill. How are you going to do that? Now, there are elections every 2 years. In the Congress, or every 6 years, where you can take care of that. You can primary people. Like Eric Cantor got primaried. I can never remember Eric Cantor's name. Eric Cantor gets primaried by David Bratt. You can do that. It's very rare. But it is part of our system if you want to do it. So there are ways to fix these things. But this is not easy. That too many conservative media people have told you how easy it's going to be is part of the reason, I think, that Donald Trump came to prominence in the first place. But now you have somebody like Rush Limbaugh, who has been championing this all these years, who now is, seemingly is on the opposite, now on the other side. Now he's saying, well, all Donald Trump wants to do is win. He doesn't care about principle. Oh, really? Now, once again, I'm just seeing it in the context. I don't know what the overall theme was of this section of Rush's show. I don't know if this happened Thursday. I don't know if Friday. I have no idea. But if he did say that, you know, Trump only cares about winning, and he said it in a negative way, then this is a complete flip-flop, complete John Kerry-like flip-flop from 6 months ago. And this is why I continue to tell you that all these people who continue to say, yeah, we know he's not conservative. We get him in there, we'll be able to do, we'll be able to work with Trump, and he'll see the light and everything. It was all a lie then. I knew it then. I know it now. And I continue to say, he's going to do something. I'll give you an example that of a story that I didn't get to from last week. Donald Trump signing these executive orders, rolling back some of these executive orders from the Barack Obama years about environmental policy that should free up stuff for energy companies. You know why he did that? He did it just because Barack Obama was the opposite. I don't believe that Donald Trump believes in any of this stuff at all. I know that that's crazy. I know how much you want to watch him rescind those executive orders or write new executive orders, whatever it may be. And all this stuff's going to happen for energy companies and you get all excited about, see. And I say, see, he's conservative. And I say he's not. I think he's just doing stuff. And you say, well, that shouldn't matter. And I say it does. I say it does. It does matter about regarding all of this. Because once again, you can find yourself on the right side today. You'll find yourself on the opposite side tomorrow. So don't, you know, you can't say that he's conservative one day and liberal the next. It's just that he just does stuff. And once in a while, he's going to get something, I guess you could say, right. But then on the other hand, he's going to get something wrong, and it's not just enough for him to get something wrong, like this healthcare bill, the AHCA, that the Freedom Caucus, among other groups, stopped. He's going to come out and blast those people on Twitter all the time, but then turn around and do something conservative and expects them to go along with it. But once again, it's not conservative, it's just something else. But you don't see him blasting Democrats do as much. And in that way, he's no different than a kind of John McCain, who always went after his fellow Republicans harder than he goes after Democrats. Right? Isn't that what's going to happen? I mean, as soon as that happened, what did he do? He threatened to go with the Democrats. I'll do something with them. I'll take this bill and go to the Democrats and we'll work with them. We'll work something out and we'll just completely bypass the Freedom Caucus. Does that sound like somebody that's conservative to you? That believes in small government? And what happens if Donald Trump wants to win on that and the Democrats say, well, you know what? You know how to work deals. We know how to work deals. If you think that this AHCA thing is something that you think we should go along with, then we want you to put back in place Barack Obama's environmental policies. Do you think that Donald Trump would do that? Yes. And then once you realize that, you realize the problem with all of this. You realize the problem of going along with this guy in the first place. I did what I could. I don't have a very big audience. I don't mind saying that. I'm a very truthful, honest guy. But I tried to tell you that. I can only affect so many people in so many ways. But Donald Trump is an unprincipled scoundrel. And I know in my daily life, I've known plenty of scoundrels over the years. Plenty. And the truth is, once in a while, I do agree with them on something. they say something or do something. Friends, just people I know, going back to high school, and speaking of Grove City at the beginning of the show, in college, and I worked in the car business where you meet a lot of scoundrels, and then I moved to Las Vegas and worked in entertainment, and you meet a lot of scoundrels there, and I will admit, sometimes I agreed with some things they said and something they did. That doesn't mean I trusted them. That doesn't mean I suddenly thought, oh, you know what? They're on my side, that they're like me. No, they're just doing things. And I know as soon as I, you know, start saying, well, you know what? Now that I looked at what that person did, I think I want to be better friends with. That would be a mistake on my part, not on their part. And maybe this is a little bit of that that's coming out here. I don't know. We'll just have to see. These are just a couple instances, and it may be a week from now. This is all way in the past, and it'll be like these things never happened. You know what I've said. I have said that I think that these people have bought in so much. It's no different than in Texas Hold'em. There's a saying in Texas Hold'em, it's not the last hand that kills you, it's the next to last hand that kills you. Meaning what happens is that usually people get in, they get too much money into a pot, and their odds are increasingly going down of whether they're going to win it or not. And then they lose the hand, and the money they have left, it's all, like they almost have nothing left. And so that's a very common statement if you play cards. And it seems to me that all of these people, I don't know how they're going to back their way out of it. I think that Rush and Matt Drudge and these guys and women, Laura Ingraham, the rest of them, I think that they have put too much money into the pile, too much of their own credibility and reputation into the pile, regarding all of this. And they may work themselves out of it, but the reputation and the credibility that they have left is not going to go as far. And it may be that, you know, that their influence ceases to be what it is. Because at some point, and like I said, I don't know, it's not going to be today, it's not going to be tomorrow or any time. There will be a time when this is going to be pretty obvious. You know, the issue you have now is Donald Trump is president, you don't have a pattern yet. All you have are certain instances. It's no different than statistics. That you have to wait a certain amount of times, and it just depends how many times something happens before you can develop a pattern as to what is going on. I don't think we've had that yet, but we may have it in 6 months. We may have it in a year. And I think it's going to be a pattern of Donald Trump waffling, going back and forth between wooing Democrats with liberal ideas and then just happening to do something conservative once in a while that's going to tick off a lot of people. And I don't think that people are going to forget. I surely am not going to forget. All of those Never Trump people who didn't vote for Donald Trump are not going to forget. They're not going to forget. And although we weren't enough to influence the election, he still won. I think that group of people who can still become Never Trumpers, even though technically Never Trump doesn't exist anymore, that group can only get larger. It's going to get larger. But the problem is these people who are prominent, they can't back out of it as easy as your regular person can. You know, your regular person isn't on the record. Most people don't bring up politics in social settings or anything else. They just go in the vote and keep it to themselves. So it's much easier for them to say down the road, well, you know what? I never voted for him, even though they did. But really, they've changed and nobody knows. Rush Limbaugh can't change. Everything's on the record. Matt Drudge, Laura Ingraham, all these people. But this may be a way, these two stories that I pointed out, is them as a way to try to start sneaking their way, dare I say it, out of this. I think so. And really, I hope they don't get away with it. Somebody needs to pay. I'm not looking for people thrown in jail. I'm not looking for fines or anything else. But what has gone on in conservative media in the last 2 years, this getting behind Donald Trump, kissing his butt, never asking him a tough question, somebody and more than one person in conservative media must pay so we don't do this again. Some people are going to have to take some for the team. Some people are going to have to be punished. I'm not looking to take their private planes away or anything. But just enough that we don't do this again with another Donald Trump type somewhere down the road. This is, I still say, this is a huge mistake. It's a huge mistake. It very well may be that a majority, it wasn't technically a majority, Donald Trump still would have won no matter what conservative media did. I don't happen to believe that, but I guess it's possible, but we should have never gotten to be a part of it. I know I wasn't, but should just never had anything to do with it. That's one more thing before I go. Gun sales are down. Gun sales, I was reading this article. This is Fox News. Redstate.com as well. Gun sales were up 362% in the last 10 years. Not last 10 years. 2006 through 2015. So 10 years. Gun sales were up 362% over that time. For December of 2016 compared to December of 2015, sales were down 17%. And I saw an FBI statistic where their background checks of gun owners, you know, the submission is down as well. Big numbers, way down. And the belief, and I can't say any that I disagree with this right at this second, is that the reason is that now that Donald Trump's president, conservatives, Republicans aren't as scared. That may be the truth, and if that's the case, that's wrong. If conservatives or the Republicans or whoever are now feel less of a threat that they have to do something because Barack Obama isn't president anymore or Hillary Clinton isn't going to be president, that is a mistake. I can tell you that I did not buy my gun because of Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or Democrats or liberals or Barack Obama or anything else. I've told you over and over again the reason that I bought my gun. All right, I should say I got it as a gift. It was because of the Paris shooting. That was what finally pushed me over the edge. Something that didn't even happen in the United States. But when I saw those videos, people just sitting there at these cafes, you know, Gay Paris, and guys just running through the streets with their AK-47s, that's what was the final. I still remember the moment. And that was over, you know, that was, what, November, October 2015, almost a year and a half ago. I remember it like it was yesterday, the moment when I said, you know what, I think I got to get a gun. Well, that stuff can still happen. I mean, for those of you that really bought guns because you thought the federal government was coming after your guns, I tried to tell you, you're crazy. The last 10 years, even before Barack Obama became president, is that the trend is going in toward more gun ownership. Hasn't changed. What also hasn't changed is that terrorism still exists. That's what you should be worried about. If you're not just worried about the home defense and things, you should be more worried about ending up in some area where a terrorist is going to attack and pulls out a gun or does something like that. That threat exists just as much as it did when Barack Obama was president. So gun sales should continue. But I don't like seeing that these gun sales are down because I think it shows that people aren't seeing the true adversary in all this. And maybe I need to talk about this a little bit tomorrow, because I've run out of time. You can find me at edwarddunsell.com. You can find this show Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Prime Channel, RedstateTalkRadio.com. You can follow me on Twitter, USA Podcast. You can find it at Podomatic and iTunes. My other show, Unfound Missing Persons Program, very well this past weekend. Maybe you'll check it out at Podomatic and iTunes. I got to go. I got to go get a couple tires for my car. Everybody have a nice evening. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.